Welcome to the Third City Christian Church Podcast. This week's message is Easter at Third City, recorded Sunday, March 31st, 2024. If you have a story about how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to podcast@thirdcityc.org. Now here's Scott with today's message.
We have this vision of love unlimited, and we believe that that's what God has for you today. And regardless of why you're here, we're glad you're here. I don't know, maybe someone threatened you. You want turkey, you got to go to Third City, then you can have turkey. So if you're here for that reason, not turkey, ham. Come on, this is ham day. All roads lead from ham lead through Third City. Or maybe you're one of those people who, you know, for a whole week, someone's been putting an invite card on your windshield and you're like, okay, I give up. I'm going to show up today. It could be just because it's Easter and you're like, well, we go to church, it's Easter. Or you could be one of those people, and there's a lot of them, who say, well, where else would I be? I go to church every Sunday. I'm coming this Sunday. I don't know what brought you here. I just know that we're glad you're here. And I want you to know that we believe that there is, Jesus is like no other. He just is. He's like no other. And so that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to look at one of the accounts of his resurrection. This is found in the Gospel of John. There's four of these, written from different perspectives, but they all have a lot of the same kinds of details, and some share different ones. But I like John's for a lot of reason. One reason is because I feel like in John's account, it really does speak to the heart of most of us who just wonder, what is this all about? What do we need to know? What do we need to know about Jesus? And here's what we need to know. We need to know whether or not we can trust him. Can I trust Jesus or not? Now, he made claims. He said things like, I'm God's son. He said things like, I am the way to know God. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He said even more deeply, no one comes to the Father unless they come through me. And so the question is, do you believe him or not? Because really, there's only two choices. Either he's right or he's not. Now, of course, we're banking on the fact that he's right. We wouldn't be doing this if not. But I have found that there's a lot of people that just don't trust him. And by the way, I don't know if it's they don't trust him. It's more that they don't trust whatever's represented about him. So their lack of trust isn't about the real Jesus. It's more about the Jesus that they've been presented in some way or another in their life. And maybe they've been given some substitute. And, you know, substitutes are always kind of a bummer, you know? They just don't quite match up. Like, I will confess over the years that I've picked up a few bad eating habits, just a few. And then when I hit the age of 35 or 40, all of those bad habits started catching up with me for a few reasons. Number one, my metabolism changed. That happens. I'm just warning you right now, it does. And so that furnace that your body is right now, if you're 30, that furnace becomes like a little candlelight, okay? It doesn't work very good. It doesn't burn off the calories. And then on top of that, I did exercise pretty much every other day, I think. And I like to do weight training and stuff like that. And I know it's hard to believe, look at me now, but that's what I did. And then I got injured. Like, I'd get these little hernias and these muscle tears and shoulders that would go out from lifting weights and doing pull-ups and stuff like that. And it changed for me. But there's something that didn't change. It was my appetite. My appetite didn't change. And so for like 25 years, I had to adjust. And one of the things I tried to do is try to find substitutes to continue to fill my ravenous appetite. So I've been introduced to some phony substitutes that really don't cut it, but you know, I tried, right? So I thought I'd bring a few of them. For those of you who are like 30, 35, and you're like, yeah, that's not gonna happen to me. Yes, it is. I'm gonna give you a few ideas here. So for instance, like, you know what this is, right? You can see this, Fruit Loops. Everybody knows what a Fruit Loop is. Well, this is the cheap substitute. Well, it's not actually cheap. This probably cost more than this did actually, but this is called Three Wishes. Now, I don't know what the three wishes are, but I know one of the wishes. I wish it tasted better. I can tell you that right now. So I did a little product comparison here just for your sake, knowing that some of you need to hear this. Three wishes fruity flavored grain-free cereal. That should tell you everything right there. The box looks fruity, we'll give it that. Not nice try. However, this has a sugar-induced Toucan Sam on it. That's really much cooler, I'm gonna say that. Okay, this is made out of primarily, look, chickpeas. That should tell you everything you need to know right there. Wheat. Just wheat, okay. Gluten-free, half the carbs, flavor-free. That's what this is. High in gluten, double the flavor. Less sugar, more buzz. I'm just reading from my list here. Keto-friendly, taste bud enemy. Low keto, you know, I mean keto, I mean not low keto, but keto not friendly. Diabetic coma, you know, taste bud magic, I don't know. Leads to longer life, much more misery. Shorter life, but pretty glorious, that's what that is. So, okay, I haven't had, like you can, neither are opened. I promised this to some guy after church. I don't know what he's thinking, but there's a lot of people like to have that, I promise that. Now there's other things, like you can get other substitutes, like you probably know what these are, like look at here, look at there, huh? I mean, mega stuff Oreos. Look at that right there. See, you sit in the front row here. We take care of you. All right. Yeah. Look at that, huh? Come on. You probably knew I was going to do this. That's why you sat there, and I know how you work. Okay, these are amazing, by the way. These are triple stuffed. Look at that. It even squeezes. It's so good. Okay. Oh, you can get these. These are called chocolate sandwich cookies. Not bad with milk, by the way, but they just aren't the same, okay? And then, now some things really do live up to the hype. So this is like, you know, this is easy cheese or its equivalent, I guess. This is not awful, okay? It's one of the great marvels of mankind, as a matter of fact. Like, I look at this can, and I'm reading this right here. Here's what it says. An excellent source of calcium and low in carbs and sugar, which is right down my alley, okay? So convenient. You're on the run. You just take a shot of cheese anytime you want. Like, have a pickup truck. Have a little cart of these in your pickup trucks, and you're driving down the street. You need a little cheese, you know? You're like, boom, you get the cheese. Now, here's what I discovered about this stuff. This actually has the same ingredients as my Old Spice body wash. This is amazing. So like if I didn't, you know, if I'm having a rank day and it's middle of the afternoon and I got some easy cheese in my truck, I'm like, you know, let's go with the easy cheese because I can't get to the body wash, you know. Here's the thing. Those might be convenient, but they leave a bad taste in your mouth. And there is a point to this on Easter, friend. And that is, you know, that sometimes we settle for substitutes and we just, in a while, we go, it's not the same. It's not what I need. It doesn't fill me. It doesn't fill me. You know, there's an old theologian, an old-time theologian, a 12th century theologian, Thomas Aquinas, and he said there's four typical substitutes people use for God. Four substitutes. And they are wealth, pleasure, honor, and power. Right? And who can argue with him? Because we chase that kind of stuff. Jesus's forerunner, Solomon, he talked about how these substitutes are like chasing the wind. You know, you go after them, you put all your energy into having these things, and then you find out that they leave you, you know, they leave you out in the wind, just like you're dust in the wind, you know? Good song. I'm gonna add another one, religion. Religion is a human attempt to worship something or someone other than Jesus, like some iconic person or some system of following God that somehow does stuff for us for a while, but then we figure, you know, that just really isn't it because that's not really Jesus. They might represent Jesus, but they let us down. See, I think he wants us to know he is like no other. That's what today is like. Now, why is Jesus like no other? I'll tell you why. It's very simple. It's an event. It's an event. Like many, many supposed leaders and people who know God have said a lot of the same things that Jesus said about caring for people, loving others, not being judgmental, all these great topics that Jesus taught on. But a lot of people have taught on those topics, and they're nice, but they're not original. There are a lot of people in the world who have said, I know God, and then follow me because I know God. But did they really know God? I don't think so, not like Jesus does. Many people have made the claim there's eternal life, there's a heaven, there's a hell, there's, you know, we're eternal beings. A lot of people have said those things. Countless people have said those things. And maybe you struggle with that. Maybe you struggle with the idea that the event, you know, that Jesus, God's son, willingly sought his own crucifixion on the cross. His physical life was violently ended by brutal punishment. You probably understand that. You probably heard that and believe it. But it's well documented that he died on Good Friday and that he was buried and that he rose out of a tomb on the third day. It's just as well documented about that fact as the first one. But you might struggle because I understand. Believe it or not, you're not the only one that struggles. As a matter of fact, there are probably many people in this room today that struggle with the idea, could Jesus have risen from the dead? As a matter of fact, I will tell you that the people who were closest to him, who had heard him say repeatedly before his death, burial, and resurrection, I'm going to die, I'm going to be buried, I'm going to be raised, they struggled with it too. Let's look at this story. And by the way, when you look at the story, you might think, well, this is a strange story because in the first place, if I were making up the story, I would not make up this story. I'm telling you that right now. Like, if you're in the camp that believes that the resurrection's all made up, let's go through the story and let's decide, would you make up a story this way? So let's read it. This is John chapter 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple. By the way, when you hear the other disciple and the guy that's writing this story, listen how he describes himself. It's kind of fun. He says, she went and told Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved. Like if I were writing a story about this, I'd say, yeah, I'm the one he loved. I would do that. And said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they put him. She's saying, hey guys, good news. Jesus is raised. Oh no. He's been taken. They've hidden his body. That's what she's saying. Now, by the way, if we were going to make this story up in the first century, I can tell you what definitively you would not have done. You would not have had a woman be the first witness to the resurrection, and here's why. No, this is wrong. I'm going to say it right now. It's wrong. It was culturally wrong, but women were not allowed to testify in a court of law. So the last thing you do is have a woman, if you made up the story, be the one who's testifying, okay? That's all I'm saying. So anyway, they hear the story, so they run to the tomb, they see this linens there, and here's how it works. So Peter and the other disciple start for the tomb. The other disciple's that guy that Jesus loved. Both were running. Listen, the other disciple outran Peter. Like, he had to insert that. I'm faster than Peter. I outran him. I don't know what's going on with this guy, but he bent over, he looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there because he's slower than the other guy. And so it's, as well as the cloth that was been wrapped around Jesus' head, it was there too. The cloth was lying in its place, separate from the linen, the little detail there. I don't know why, but it's there. Finally, the other disciple, the one he loved, the one that runs so fast, he also went inside. He saw and believed. Now you think, okay, finally, someone realizes that he's raised. No, that's not what it is, because look what it says right after that. They still did not understand from scriptures that Jesus had risen from the dead. Now, why is that important? Well, I think for us it's important for this reason. There's hope. Because if you're someone who says, you know, I've read the Bible and I have a hard time understanding it, I've heard this story, you know, I've been coming to church for several years on Easter and I've heard the story and I still don't get it. They say that he was raised from the dead, and yet I'm still having a hard time understanding and believing that. There's hope for you. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels there, and one's on one end of the place where he had laid, and the other was on the other end of the place where his body had been. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" And she said, "Well, they've taken my Lord away. It's still not he's raised, it's wherever they put him." See, the resurrection still hasn't crossed her mind. That's the point. At this, she turned around. She saw Jesus standing there, but still did not realize who it was, because she's not expecting a raised Jesus. That's why. Okay? So he asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you put him and I will go get him." I love her spunk, by the way. I love the amazement of this person who's going to take care of Jesus even after his death. And Jesus said to her, he said her name, Mary. And she knows his voice because he knows her name. And here's what we've been praying for from you for some time, that today some of you will hear your name because you know his voice today for the first time. Jesus came, so that happened. That was morning. That happened in the morning. On the evening, on the first day of the week, same day, when the disciples were together and the doors were locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, because they thought they were going to be the next ones on crosses, and they had no idea that there was a resurrection, even though they'd been told something happened. This is not a posture of confidence. This is a posture of fear. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands. He showed them his side. The disciples were overjoyed because now they'd seen the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I'm sending you." He breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. He told them that they're going to have the ability to carry out his mission to forgive sins. That would be their mission, to tell people that their sins could be forgiven, to offer that to people. Now, Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." And he said to them, understandably, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and I am able to touch the wound on his side, I'm not going to believe. I will not believe." Now, I will just say this. If I were going to make this story up, okay, it would sound a little different. Like if I made up the story, it would lay out kind of like an Avengers movie, okay? Like somehow all the attention of the city would be drawn toward the tomb. Like people would be standing around in the thousands waiting for something to happen. And the disciples would do some form of like massive countdown, 10, 9, 8. And then there'd be one of those big thunder peals that you see on all the cool movies where like it's like something strikes and then you don't hear noise. And then there's this crisp, you know, and then light would like beam down on the tomb. And then the stone in front of the tomb would explode into a million pieces. And Jesus himself would like come out kind of like Terrence Bud Crawford, ready to defend his title, you know. Like, that's how I do it. If I were going to make up the resurrection story, this is the best you can come up with? You know why this story sounds like this? Because it's the way the story was. Like, this is not a made-up story. This is... The reason that the story goes like that is because that's the way the story went. And then it took many other days, like, you know, 50 days, where Jesus kept showing up and showing people, "I'm raised. Here I am." It just took a lot. And a lot of time passed. As a matter of fact, in this story that's told by John, it says that he came back a week later. And he presented himself to Thomas, okay? Now, I will just say this. There are no doubt people here like that, like who you just, Yeah, unless I see. I mean, my friends believe this stuff. I know this church talks about it, and they believe it, I guess. They claim they do, at least. I know the guy on stage is kind of passionate about it. But unless, and you got a stipulation, like you have your own stipulation. Like, unless, the only way I will believe is if, and you fill in the blank. If he heals my wife, then I'll believe it. If he gives me that job, yeah, I'm in. He stops all the terrorist violence and all the hatred, then I'll know. He changes my marriage, my broken marriage. He changes my spouse. Usually is what that means. What's your stipulation? So Thomas had the stipulation, unless I see the hands, you know, the side. Jesus shows up. Again, it's the same thing. Doors are locked. They're still hiding. Jesus stands among them and he says, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand, put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. See, here's what I hope you hear in that. If Jesus could be that patient with them, certainly he can be that patient with you and will be. Because listen, they knew him the most. They saw all the stuff. They witnessed all the miracles. They were there for all the amazing things that Jesus did for year after year when people came to him. And then they also understood what it meant to see the crucifixion. Now, I know you've never seen him in person. I've always thought that, you know, on Easter would be awesome if I could just, today I could announce this. Hey, guess what? Special news. Jesus is actually here in the flesh. Like, he's going to be out at the hub after the service. You can go out and the first 20 people get to touch his hands. And unless he comes back right now, that's not going to happen. And it probably won't happen that way anyway. But here's the deal. Believing comes almost before everything. Believing comes before everything. And all these people that we've talked about, you know, John, the disciple he loved, the fast-running disciple, Peter, Mary, many others who they don't mention in this passage, the disciples, Thomas, of course, all of them had to come to this point where they said, you know what, I believe it. And things happened to help them with that. And what happened was things started to change for them at that moment on. And I would bet on my life on this, that whatever doubting you bring into this moment, if you will trust him, he can change you too. I bet my life on it. I have bet my life on it. He can and he will change you. Now, you're going to hear a story in just a couple minutes, Grant's story. And this is a guy who bet his life on the resurrection. And he's just like Thomas. Like, you know, he had to come to this point where he says, I'm going to follow the guy. It's my best option. And you're going to find out he's really happy he did. John chapter 20, 30. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But those were written, that these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And that by believing, you may have life in his name. Maybe you're ready to take a step. Like, you've had enough information. And it's not just today, but your life has culminated to this moment where you're at this point where you have to decide the only question that really matters on Easter. This is the only question that really matters. It's not what time's the ham done, it's coming out of the oven at what, 12:30? That's important, but it's not the most important question. What time's the Easter egg hunt start for the children? That's fun, but you know, what time's the next NCAA game? All good things, nothing wrong. But the only question that really matters today is, can you trust Jesus or not? It's the only one that matters. You know, if you're at that point where you're saying, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna get rid of the cheap substitutes. I don't want to compare Jesus to Toucan Sam, but I'm going for the real thing. I'm going to pray, and maybe you can join me in this prayer. Lord, here we are on Easter, and we made it. It's no small feat to get here. I've listened to that 27-minute rant by the guy. Something's happened. I feel something happening in my soul that only you can make happen. I find that I can trust you. So Lord, here I am with all my past that I've drug into this place, my fears that keep me hidden away in a room, away from the reality of the world, and the fear that keeps me from trusting you. And I'm going to set that aside and say, today, Lord, I do. I trust you. That you are like no other, and now I realize it. This is my prayer. Just 4 days before his resurrection, Jesus sat with his followers and he shared what we call the Last Supper. They called it the Passover meal. It was a celebration for the nation. But at the meal, he took these emblems. He took bread, and it didn't look like this. It wasn't like in a little container like this 2,000 years ago. But nevertheless, it was bread, like this is bread. And he took the bread and he said, this represents my body broken for you. So he was, like he was prophetically saying, here's what's going to happen in just about 24 hours. My body's going to be broken for you. And he said, take it and eat it. If you want to, please do. Because you're remembering. Then he took the cup and he said, this represents the new covenant. The new covenant, the promise of something new for you, a new life. The new covenant in my blood, that's what this represents. The blood that would be shed on the cross to purchase your new life. Drink from it in remembrance of me. What we are remembering, among other things, is that he is the one and only Son of God who gave his life for yours. And he said, do this in remembrance of me, because he's like no other.
I'm Grant Hansen. I was born and raised in Grand Island. I'm married to my wife, Beretta. We got two kids, Berkeley and Skyly. I dealt with alcohol and drug abuse since high school till recently, you know, a year or so ago. What led me to Jesus was my wife. She's my angel. She stuck by my side through all the crap that I put her through. She started coming to Third City more frequently, and of course I'd follow. There'd be some Sunday mornings where it'd be a rough Saturday night, and I'd come sit in church, and I felt like I was the only one in the room, and Scott was talking right to me. We were here for a couple baptism days, day of baptisms. I had something urging me at those, but I never did it. And I'd been sober for almost a year and just figured it's time to let that old guy go and follow this new guy and see what happens. Leading up to it, I talked to my wife and kids and you know, told my wife I was thinking about doing it. That the day of was awesome. It was very, very special, very spiritual, I guess you could say too. I know afterwards I had to deal with forgiving myself for my sins. And I have learned that, you know, Jesus has forgiven me, but I had a really tough time with forgiving myself. Life has been way different. The atmosphere at home with the kids, me and my wife, our relationship is growing like crazy. It's awesome. We're finally becoming the best friends I think, that we've always kind of both longed for, but I was an idiot sitting at the bar. So life everywhere is becoming really cool. I work with the guys. They tend to ask me for some prayers more than they ever have. Do I feel like I'm more aware of God's presence? Absolutely. In every aspect of life, really. Just having that, the men's group or our couples group that we recently started here. So you make like instant best friends, it seems like. Our couples group, we do different things with them, not just meet on our weekly night, but we've gone out to dinner and just gone and hung out at other people's places, and that has been a great thing in my life recently. What would I? Well, I don't want to use those words in church. I would tell the old Grant to just get up, quit what you're doing, and just come see what the other side's like. Every other thing I've done in life, I've just dove in head first and not thought about it. And that's kind of what I did here. I dove in head first and yeah, do it. Do it.
Grant and Beretta are in here somewhere, so thanks, Grant, Beretta, for letting us tell your story. And you know, there's something raw and real about that, isn't there? It's a raw and real story, and so is yours. Come on. You know, there's something raw happening in you, too. And I hope you see today there's something real happening. There's a God who came into our world, put himself on a cross, so that he could forgive you and clear you of your past and give you a new life. That's real. Because of the resurrection, we know it's true. Next week, we're gonna have, I hope 100 baptisms. I don't know, we'll take one. Where people just step up and say, you know what, it's time for me to take this belief and bring it home. And I hope you'll be praying about that. If you've not taken that step with the Lord, let next week be your day. Next Sunday, let it be your time when you say, Jesus, you're like no other. I'm stepping in. Be praying about that, will you?
Thanks for listening to the Third City Christian Church podcast. Please join us for one of our worship services at 9, 10, 15, or 11:30 a.m. in Grand Island, and at 10:15 a.m. in Broken Bow on Facebook Live and at thirdcityc.online.church each Sunday. For more information about Third City Christian Church, send email to podcast@thirdcityc.org. Call us at 308-384-5038 or visit us online at thirdcityc.org.